And so I felt that this was the opportunity to give a gospel witness. And so as I started explaining the plan of salvation and the fact that salvation is through the blood of Jesus Christ, when I said the blood of Jesus Christ, they said, "Stop! Get out! We don't want to hear anymore."
For 2,000 years, Christ has been extending his kingdom through ordinary, faithful people. Their blood, sweat, and tears are the seeds of the global church. The gospel is spreading across the world, saving sinners, renewing nations, and changing everything. But today, many in the modern church are weak, torn, comfortable. The book of Hebrews says we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses watching us from heaven, spurring us on. The stories of these faithful Christ followers who've gone before us are what we need to wake up and return to our first love for Christ's mission. Let's learn from them.
On this week's episode of Cloud of Witnesses, we hear from ABWE missionaries Dave and Doris Totman, who dedicated almost 40 years of service with ABWE in Bangladesh, Kenya, and Ghana.
Hello, I'm Dave Totman, my wife Doris sitting next to us. The Lord actually started speaking to our hearts when we were very young about ministry. And it was as we got older, as we graduated from high school and started in at two separate colleges, that the Lord started speaking specifically to us about ministry in Bangladesh. Interestingly enough, even though Doris was training to be a nurse and I was in Bible college, the Lord called us to the jungle station of Hebron. As we saw the Lord leading us, actually, it was through a picture of a locked door at Hebron that the Lord really challenged us to ministry, and especially to that specific place. It wasn't until a year or two, I guess about a year later, that the Lord brought the two of us together and we started talking about different things. And I like to kiddingly say that I was bound for missions and I wanted to make sure Doris was as well. So I decided on our second date that I'd ask her if she was called to be a missionary and where. She didn't give the right answer. I figured that was the end of the friendship. But she gave the right answer. And I thought, this is really odd. So I said, you know, if the Lord ever closed the door to Hebron, I said, where do you think the Lord would lead you next? And her second answer was the same as mine. And so at that particular point, we kind of each knew that the Lord had brought us together.
In the opening introduction, Dave references how a picture of a locked door challenged them to ministry in Bangladesh. And when asked to explain the significance of that photo, he had this to say.
I think the major thing was the fact that the door was locked because Mysteria had died. And there'd actually been other missionaries, actually another missionary and a young gal had also died there on the field. But I think we were thinking, at least at that point, possibly doing translation work. And so being at the Hebron station, that was ideal for reaching into the hill tracks and being able to do Bible translation. We never ended up doing that, but the Lord got us there to get us started in being able to do leadership training and church planting there. And so in 1971, we applied to ABWE.
And we were accepted to go to Bangladesh at that point.
Our ministry there at Hebron was actually George and I worked together, and I worked primarily with the tribal people, and George worked primarily with the Bengali people, although we worked with both. Our ministry focused with the tribal people, focused on the Tripura and the Meru hill people. And unfortunately, one of the difficulties, in a sense, that we had was how could we evangelize the hill tracts, because we did not have permission to go into the hill tracts. And the Lord brought to us evangelists. There was initially Jay Walsh had worked with Entree, and then others started coming. And so we had about 10 to 15 different tribal evangelists that would come in every month. We would give them training. We would do debriefing with them to see how their month had gone. And it was really unique. Then at the end of the year, we actually had a tribal Bible seminar. And one time we had 200 people come, and it was our responsibility to feed them rice and curry. So I figured it out. We used a ton and a half of rice to feed those people for that 1 week of tribal Bible seminar. One of the most interesting things that happened that I still enjoy telling is we had one evangelist by the name of Gona Chandro. He was illiterate, and yet he had a very strong desire to preach the gospel and to work with his people. One day when he came in and I was debriefing him, he says, "Guess what happened in one of the villages?" I says, "I don't know, what happened?" And he said, we were able to have a number of people that accepted Christ as their savior. And I said, "Man, that is great. Praise the Lord." He says, "But that's not all that happened." I said, "Well, what else happened?" He said, "Well, we baptized about half of those that came to Christ." I said, "Well, praise the Lord." He says, "But that's not all that happened." I said, "Well, what else happened?" He said, "We were able to build a Jesus house, which is a church, so that the people could come each week and worship God."
Like many missionaries serving in developing countries, the Tottmans faced the challenges of managing a home without the conveniences that we take for granted here in the United States. But beyond the material hardships of living in the jungles of Bangladesh, they also encountered the spiritual warfare that comes with sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in a place where so many are resistant to it.
Living at Hebron had its challenges. There's no electricity. There was no running water. We had hung Coleman lanterns from the fans. We did have a generator that worked part of the time, but it was a challenging place there to live with three babies, doing laundry by hand, and there was lots of laundry, and water had to be carted and stored in 55-gallon drums. Dave spent a lot of time keeping the kerosene stove and refrigerator going and the lamps burning. But the Lord did give us a very fruitful ministry there, and we are really thankful that we could be there. We had very few that came to know Christ, but our very first convert was a Buddhist man from the village named Koka.
And after he became a Christian and was baptized, the Buddhists actually asked the Muslims to try to deal with him. They actually dragged him off into the jungle with the idea of beating him and possibly even killing him. But when he was released and came back, it was a short time later that because Koka hadn't built his section of the fence at the Buddhist temple, he and I were summoned to go to the Buddhist temple to give reason why he became a Christian. I remember sitting in that Buddhist temple And it was very cold. It was damp and totally dark. I just wanted to make sure that there wasn't any light, so I held my hand up to my face, and I still couldn't see it. But after they questioned Coca for a while, and he would not recant, they started on me, asking me questions. And so I felt that this was the opportunity to give a gospel witness. And so as I started explaining the plan of salvation and the fact that salvation is through the blood of Jesus Christ, when I said the blood of Jesus Christ, they said, "Stop! Get out! We don't want to hear anymore." And that was just an indication to me of how much we were in Satan's territory. I think an interesting sidelight to that is some of the men that were present there later told us, you know, when you leave Hebron, in other words, when you go down to Malamgat for your field council meetings, we feel like the light goes out. And so, again, the Lord just reaffirming that this is where he had called us and that he was hopefully using us to witness to these people.
Early in their lives, Dave and Doris each felt a personal calling to serve in Hebron, and the Lord led them to that specific village in Bangladesh. When God called them away from that place, they felt so strongly led to serve, it raised a lot of questions about their next steps. But the Topmans soon realized that the Lord was guiding them toward a deeper understanding of what obedience and service really meant.
There came a point after a few years that the government requested that we leave Hebron. Weber's had been asked to leave a few months earlier. And so we were at the jungle station with just two single girls and ourselves with our three small children. And the government said, because of the rebels and the conflict going on all around us, that they felt we needed to leave. So we had to pack up and we moved to Malamgat. That was a very stretching time for Dave and I because the Hebron station was closed. That was where we felt God had called us to the field. And we really struggled with, now what? What do you have for us, Lord? And the Lord used that very stretching time to show us he called us to serve him. Yes, initially it was to a specific place, but he wanted us to be willing to serve him wherever he led. And that was a very, very good lesson for us to learn, that God just wanted us to be faithful. And so we learned through that experience that that was what he wanted, not that he necessarily was going to tell us a specific place, but he just wanted our faithfulness.
With a renewed understanding of obedience and following the Lord wherever he leads, the Topmans embarked on a journey of service that began in Bangladesh and eventually took them to Kenya and then to Ghana, where they would spend 15 years serving.
Well, at Malamgat, I got involved with helping to establish the Baptist Bible Institute of Bangladesh. However, Doris's health continued to deteriorate. And so after a short interlude back to the States, we felt the Lord was leading us to Kenya. Unfortunately, ABWE was not registered in Kenya, and so we were able to get into the country under another independent Baptist mission. Our goal there was that we would see 10 churches planted, but we were able to work with missionaries so that by the time that we left about 6 years later, more than 10 churches had been established.
Through the other 10 mission groups that we were working with.
Yeah. So while we worked there, actually all three of our kids, being born in Bangladesh, all graduated from high school.
In Kenya.
In Kenya. And our major ministry there was doing holiday Bible clubs with children and teens. And this gave us a basis to do church planning. We were able to rent a school building that we used on Sundays. And we planted a church there, but because of the high cost of land, we were not able to establish something that was sustainable. And we left shortly thereafter.
While we were there in Kenya, ABWE was looking for someone that could go to Ghana to follow up from the ministry that had just opened up. And Bob Dyer had gone to Ghana and started planting churches and started a Bible college there. And they were looking for someone to take over that work. And the Lord just laid it on our hearts that just seemed to be custom made for us. And so we prayed about it, and the Lord opened up the door for us to go to minister in Ghana. By that time, our children had all finished high school and were back in the States. And so just the two of us headed off to Ghana. Unfortunately, about a week after we arrived in Accra, I became very ill again. And there were no ABW missionaries in the country. And in Accra, we didn't know of any American missionaries. We had no contacts, and we were kind of by ourselves and not sure what we were going to do. And the same time when we arrived, we had to turn in our passports and the immigration papers to get our work permits to stay there. So we had no passports and no vehicle. And so we kind of struggled for about a week or so. And then the Lord began to send people, a chief that Bob Dyer had led to the Lord in Ho, came to Accra looking for us, and the Lord directed him to where we were. And so he was able to help us with some of the preliminary things that needed to be done. And we moved to Ho and waited for all of our things to arrive, and still waiting for our papers to be cleared. Meanwhile, I got sicker and sicker, and Dave continued with the Bible college that Bob had started. And eventually, after 7 weeks, our papers finally came through. Our passports were given back. And so that same day, all of our supplies that we had sent from the States, they all arrived. We put everything in the house, locked the door, and took off for Togo. And normally the trip to Togo was about a 2-hour trip from Ho to the hospital station. That day, it took us over 8 hours, and we had to go all the way to Lome and go back up that way. By the time we reached the hospital, it was evening, and I was very, very sick. And it turned out I was in the hospital for more than 5 weeks on antibiotics. And finally, we thought things were settled. I was so thankful for the doctors and all the nurses and the care they gave me there. And we were doing better, so we returned back to Ho, and everything started getting bad again. So we ended up going back to the U.S. And often during that initial stage, and then even during the hospital stay, the question came to us, Lord, what are you trying to teach us? Why are we struggling with this? We're the only missionaries here, and we can see that there's so much work to be done in Ghana. And now here we're all these weeks and we aren't able to do anything. And the Lord just reaffirmed he was watching over us and he had a purpose and all of that. And one of the biggest fears when we first got there is a missionary from Baptist Missions had just died from malaria. And Ghana is known as the white man's graveyard. So you can imagine the thoughts going through our minds during those first few weeks. But God intervened. We came back to the States. They found out that I had lupus, and it was something that could be treated. And within a couple of months, we were well enough to be able to return to Ghana and to really begin to get involved in the ministry there.
We served there for about 15 years. And then as we were getting ready to retire, the mission asked us to join their team of international theological education. So I started traveling with Dale Marshfield. And then after that, as we did get ready to retire, we volunteered to work with Horizon Education Network in designing curriculum that could be put online and used globally.
When we asked them about the lessons they've learned and would like to share with others, the Totmans offered this insight.
One of the things that I've learned over the years is in leadership training, it isn't all done in the classroom. I think much more is accomplished outside the classroom, where I worked practically with the men that I was teaching and helping them get involved in ministry, and then just seeing them thrive as they could see how the Lord could use them in training others as well.
There were so many lessons that God taught us over the years, but as we look back, the things that we learned and the mistakes that we made in Bangladesh along the way, the Lord just continued to grow us and help us as we progressed. Our 6 years in Kenya were very good for our children. They were able to make many friends and got a very good education. They learned a lot of things through our time in Kenya. But sometimes Dave and I would wonder, why are we here? We originally had gone there to do leadership training, but that didn't pan out. So we were doing church planting. And yet the lessons that we learned along the way carried over, and it just enhanced our ministry in Ghana. And we're just so thankful that God allowed us to have those 15 years in Ghana to really put in practice and then move on into training others to put those kind of things into practice of the many lessons that God has taught us. And now we've been back in the States for a while. When we first came back, we worked at ABWE. Dave worked with the theological education and went to several places to help teach and develop courses. And then also with Horizon Education Network was a very, very good experience for us, helping with getting courses online. They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but we learned a lot about computers by working on putting the courses online. And just the special things that we were able to do throughout those, that time. Mm-hmm. But now God has allowed us to work in our local church. And what a blessing, because we went to the mission field right from Bible college. We never, other than as we were growing up, the little bit that you can do as a teenager, we never really got fully involved in serving through the local church. And now we're having that opportunity, and it's just been a blessing to be able to take the years of experience that God gave us on the mission field and begin to put them in action. For one, Dave's an elder mm-hmm. at our church.
Working closely with the pastors. And I think one of the things, too, it's been interesting because of our missionary experience. We've been involved with ESL. And as we all know, the Lord is really bringing the world to us. And through this ESL ministry and even working with people in our church, it's being able to help people understand some of the cultural cues that we learn by working overseas has just really been a tremendous blessing. And I think one of the things that we're enjoying about that is being able to work, you know, with the pastors, with the elders in leading and really growing the church. And so these have all been kind of additional blessings. Sometimes we think, you know, well, you go to the mission field, you come home and die. But there's still a lot of ministry to be done. And as someone once told me, you're retired. And we say, we're retired financially from ABWE.
I think one of the most important lessons that we've learned, well, there's two things that stand out to me. One is God has called us to be faithful. And that's our goal, to be faithful throughout our entire life. And the second is to live by faith and trust God. God is ultimately in control, and it's so important to totally trust God. We've tried to teach our children that, and even more so to model that He's the one that takes care of us. He's the one that guides and directs us. And I'm just so thankful that for His faithfulness, and I trust that He will find us faithful as well.
Dave and Doris Totman served with ABWE for nearly 40 years, following faithfully the Lord's leading throughout their entire journey. They candidly shared the challenges of following God when the path took them on unexpected turns. Yet they came to see that every part of that journey, every twist, every turn, was part of His greater purpose. Even in retirement, the fruits of their mission work continue to serve Christ's church here in the United States. Cloud of Witnesses is a production of ABWE. I'm your host, Alex Kochman. Our production director is Grant Boring. Our researcher and interviewer is Jay York. Production support is provided by Brian Van Timmeren. Additional voiceovers by Jason Younger. Get equipped to make disciples and learn more about how you can reach the nations at abwe.org.
Cloud of Witnesses is a production of ABWE. ABWE is a global family of ministries reaching more than 80 countries by sharing Christ, planting churches, and training Christian leaders. After nearly 100 years, ABWE is continuing to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. You can help us advance the kingdom for the next 100 years and beyond by supporting the mission through the Global Gospel Fund. Learn more at abwe.org/cloud.